And Leonard Ravenhill said, "My main ambition in life is to be on the devil's most wanted list." How many want to be on the devil's most wanted list? You know, when there was a group of guys called the Sons of Sceva, and they were going to take on this guy who was possessed, and they said, "In the name of Jesus, whom Paul knows." And the devil said, "Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you?" And that devil whooped the seven of them, stripped them, and left them home naked, or sent them home naked. But we have authority and power. And the enemy will not see you vanish into God's company without an effort to reclaim you. Isn't that true? If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. This is actually the beginning of three chapters talking about the spiritual gifts. And we're talking to you about gifts, services, and the ways God works. How many know that God's not limited to a way that he can work? If he can make a donkey talk, he can do whatever you need to do in your situation. If he can make a nation of 2 to 3 million people walk through the Red Sea to get past the Egyptian army, what do you think he can do for you? Or, you know, instead of going to Burger King for eat, how about having him bringing you Burger King every day? Yeah, that's what Elisha, he said, "I'll bring you bread and meat in the morning," and bread and he had a sausage biscuit in the morning and a hamburger at night. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." Say, "I'm not ignorant." And the way to overcome ignorance is with information and truth, right? You hear the truth on a matter, and you're not ignorant about it anymore. And he says, "You know, you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols." You know, one time in the Gospels, the Bible says he cast out a spirit, and it was dumb. Talking about a dumb spirit, but I just like how he said it. "These dumb idols, even as you were led." Can you imagine worshiping an idol that can't talk, can't speak? And here we are, we can worship the living God who talks, who's very active, who's alive. Hallelujah. He says, "Wherefore I give unto you," or "I give to you, give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all." Our God is a creator, so he likes things different. All right? Didn't make one fingerprint the same, because he likes you to be unique. All right? He likes you to be special. Say, "I'm special." Look at someone and say, "You're special." So there's differences of gifts, different ways those gifts are ministered to people. And there's different ways that those gifts operate. But you know what? It's all the same Lord. It's all the same God. It's all for God's kingdom. Right? And then here's a key verse in verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." So the reason that these gifts are given to the body is so that you can benefit from them. Amen? They're not for an individual, but they could be. And when a gift is in operation, there could be more than one in operation. Do you realize when Jesus, I'm getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. When Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, there was working of miracles, gifts of healing, and probably gift of faith all in operation. So there was more than one gift that was operating at the same time. I mean, if you were dead for 4 days, you need some gifts of healing. You need a miracle, right? And who knows what killed him? He didn't need to get healed. And then to call out a dead man, you need some faith. So there was probably more than one gift in operation. There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and we've been studying this. And we're going to get into the gifts now. We touched a little bit on wisdom. But there's gifts administration, or gifts, grace, and offices. I want you to remember those. The grace is your character. The gift is the endowment. And the office is in which they function. Okay? And we all need the different gifts. And so everybody needs to profit. Say, I'm going to profit tonight. Oh, you didn't know you came to a profit meeting, didn't you? Yeah, we're going to profit. That means it's going to benefit us. All right, and let's list these gifts, okay? Starting with verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. All right? So to one is given the word of wisdom. All right? To another, a word of knowledge. All right? To another, a gift of faith. All right? What's the next one? In verse 9, gifts of healing. Notice that's more than one gift. Because, you know, there's gifts of healing. Now, those aren't to keep. These are just for an illustration. You will be required to turn them back to the bookstore after this service. But gifts of healing, you know, there's more than one sickness, more than one disease. I found that the Lord, I did my first healing meeting in Fiji. And I found out that the Lord uses me the most effective to heal respiratory diseases. We had 8 people come up for my first healing meeting in Fiji, and I preached through an interpreter. And this lady was having trouble breathing, and, you know, I laid hands on her, and she, I think she got healed because she couldn't speak English, but she was crying, and she was really touched. All right, next verse. To another, working of miracles. All right? Think of these gifts like keys that open doors. All right? To another, prophecy. All right? To another, discerning of spirits. All right? We'll give the discerning of spirits over here. I got a mixture of guys and girl gifts. All right? And then finally, diverse kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. So we'll do that over here. But I want you to see that it is the Lord who gives these gifts. He gives these gifts. See, I was just inspired in worship. I said, that sounds like a good thing. So if you saw me going to the bookstore, that's what I was doing. I had a moment of inspiration. All right? Sometimes when you get inspired, you just got to go with it, all right? Which is rare for me, because sometimes it takes me a while. I got to think about it. I got, you know, but you know it's God when it just happens quickly with me. You know it's God, all right? So those are the different gifts of the Spirit. Now, the first one, I did touch on this a little bit last week, so it's the word of wisdom. What is wisdom in this particular sense? It's wise. It's the word is Sophia, and it's higher or lower wisdom. All right? It's distinguished for wise. It shows you the comprehensive views or the scheme of redemption. The word of wisdom, in other words, gives you divine insight into God's plan on what he wants to do in this earth. And when the word of wisdom is in operation, you have insight, understanding into what God wants to do, and you have the ability to communicate that to others. Okay? We looked at a man in the Old Testament by the name of Joseph. And what was Joseph good at? Dreams. That means he was sleeping on the job if he was good at dreams. He's a dreamer. He had the ability to interpret dreams, but it wasn't his ability, it was God's ability. Because every dream that Joseph interpreted, he always said that God will give the interpretation. And so God endowed Joseph with the ability to interpret dreams. And times that got him in trouble, and times that got him promoted. All right? But when you use the gifts that God's given you, you'll be blessed, okay? He helped the butcher, or the cupbearer and the butler, or the butler and the baker. And I don't know about the candlestick maker, But these two guys were in prison. First of all, Joseph had a dream about his brothers bowing down to him. If you have a dream about your brothers bowing down to you, might want to keep that one to yourself. Then he had a dream that his parents and his brothers were bowing down to him. Now, he didn't know how that was going to happen. God just showed him what God wanted to do. Then he got sent to Egypt, and he maintained his character. See, the gifts are for those who have character. If you're slipping in the character department, God's not going to give you more gifts. All right? God is very much concerned about our character. That's why the next chapter is about love, and the next chapter is about order in the church, 1 Corinthians 14. So he puts these gifts in here in conjunction with love and order. All right? So this wisdom, Joseph used the wisdom to interpret to the Pharaoh that there was going to be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine, because Pharaoh had a dream. There wasn't a person, a psychic, an astrologer, a magician in all of Egypt that could figure out this dream, because God only gave the interpretation to one person. And he used that interpretation to benefit his country and to Egypt, all right? Egypt became very wealthy because Joseph had insight into what God wanted to do. Now, if you knew that an investment today was going to take off in 7 years, how many would you put money in it? See, it's good to have that insight into what God wants to do in the earth so that you can be ready. You can put yourself in the position that when God wants to do this thing, you're ready to go with him. Okay? That's what Joseph did. All right, but I don't want to spend too much time on Joseph. Okay? Wisdom, commentator said, he declares the manifold diversity. He reckons up principal gifts and here's what I want you to look at. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. It really gives us some insight into wisdom. You know, God loves wise guys. He said wisdom is the principal thing, right? Therefore, get wisdom with all you're getting, get understanding. He wants you to be a wise guy or a wise gal. Proverbs chapter 2, starting with verse 5, God's going to give us some qualities and characteristics about wisdom that he wants us to learn. Verse 5, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. How many want to understand the fear of God? How many want to find the knowledge of God? For the Lord gives wisdom, verse 6. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for who? For the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment, preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. How many want to understand every good path? Well, the spiritual gift, the word of wisdom, helps us to do these things. God supernaturally downloads truth to you about understanding and insight about what he wants to do in this earth. That could be future, that could be now, that could relate to you, that could relate to the country. You know, whenever a prophet spoke, they always said, the word of the Lord came unto me saying. And they just gave whatever God said. And that's what a spiritual gift, that's how it's operated. All right, verse 10. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you, verse 12, to deliver you from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks froward things. Do you realize that Satan wants to trip you up? He wants to set traps for you. But the word of wisdom can show you how to avoid the traps that are set for you. All right? When Herod wanted to kill the babies that were 2 years and younger where he thought Jesus was, what happened? God supernaturally gave a dream to Joseph to say, get out from there and go to Egypt. Because God knew what was going to happen in the earth, and he showed it to Joseph, who both Joseph and Mary were righteous. They were from the righteous line. And through a dream, God showed them, he helped them to avoid trouble. And they were actually rescued. So the word of wisdom preserved the life of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. Kept them from the sorrow, the pain. That was supernatural. That was a revelation. No one knew what was going to happen except for Herod. And he was motivated by the devil. But you see how the word of wisdom can work and operate? All right? Go with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel was another one who was endowed by God with gifts. Of course, in the Old Testament, they didn't know that they were gifts. They just knew it was God because they didn't have a New Testament. You know, Daniel didn't have the New Testament. He couldn't go into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read. All he could do was read the scrolls that they had at that time, Isaiah and a couple others, the first five books of the Bible. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. Now this, it was talking about Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and what? Wisdom. Who gave it to them? God. Why? Because they were righteous. So really, one of the qualifications to operate in the gifts of the Spirit is to be righteous. What does it mean to be righteous? That Jesus is your Savior. Okay? So, he gave them these things. And then Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. And then it goes on, now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, and the prince, okay, and they brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Meshach, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than the magicians and the astrologers that were in all his realm. 10 times better. And Daniel continued even into the first year of King Solomon. So are these good gifts or what? These gifts are 10 times better than the best universities. Now, it's good to get an education, but an education without a revelation is not a good thing. You need revelation. You need God to show you some things. Because if all we do is get an education, we're just feeding our mind. But we also need to feed our spirit. We need to look into the spiritual realm of things. Okay? Go to Daniel chapter 2, verse 18. And King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And the people said, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it. And the king said, I'm not going to tell you the dream. I want you to interpret it. And he even said, if you don't interpret this dream, I'm going to kill you. Nebuchadnezzar was a crazy man. That's why he spent some time eating grass. But we're not going to get into that right now. Okay, 2:18. And so Daniel, he let the king's executioner know something, and him and his four friends, they got together and they basically prayed, verse 18, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret. See, the word of wisdom is about revealing secrets. That Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. I want you to notice, the king did not tell anybody what his dream was, but he wanted them to interpret it. And only God knows the secret things. And he'll reveal the secret things to those who are on his side. And so there, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're praying. They're having a prayer meeting because they were part of the group that was sentenced to die because no one could interpret the dream. So they're calling upon God. And God supernaturally shows him the dream. Okay? And then right after, Daniel just blessed God. He recognized who gave him that ability. Daniel never drew attention to himself. He never said, look it, I got this gift. I am so great. I am awesome. Uh-uh. If you're doing that with a gift, that gift's going to be yanked from you. Because it's the same Lord, it's the same God, it's the same Spirit. You got to give honor to the Lord because they're his gifts. He just lets you use them. All right? He gives you the keys to the kingdom. He says, here, go have a good time in the kingdom. Verse 21, he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings. He sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Notice, all this has to do with things happening in the earth. And God will give you insight through the word of wisdom. Verse 22, he reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. And then Daniel said, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of you. For you have now made known unto us the king's matter. And because Daniel got the revelation, he not only spared his life, but all the magician's life. And the Lord gave him the interpretation. The Lord gave him the word of wisdom. He revealed something that no one knew but the king. And the king wasn't going to tell anybody because he wanted it supernatural. But thank God for the word of wisdom. All right? And go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 11. He says this. Well, the disciples came, and verse 10 says, why do you speak in parables? Have you ever been to a service and say, you know, what was he saying? What are you talking about, Lord? Verse 11, he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Who's the them that is not given? Those that don't seek the Lord. For whoever has, to him shall be given. What is he talking about? To them that have. To them that have what? Revelation knowledge? A heart that seeks after God? What did God say? Seek and you shall what? Find. Knock and what? He's not going to let you knock until your knuckles are bleeding. If you're genuine and sincere and you knock, the door is going to be open to you. And he says, whoever asks, receives. So those who ask, seek, and knock are the ones who have revelation. And when you have revelation, you're going to be given more. All right? Revelation is simply the key to more. Because in order to have more, you got to know what belongs to you, right? Are you listening? Okay. Whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever has not, they don't have a desire to seek. They don't pursue God. from him shall be taken away even that which he has. We saw that in the talents. 5, 2, and 1. The one who had 5, the one who had 2, they both did something with what they had. They were given more. But the one who had 1 didn't do anything with it, buried it in the ground. And to him it was taken away and given to the one who made 10. So let's just say, if we've got God's word, right? But if we take God's word and bury it in the ground, we don't do anything with it. Do you think you're going to have all that God wants you to have? No. All right? So the word of wisdom, it's divine insight into the things that God wants to do in this earth. It could be regarding kings, individuals, families. Do you realize that when a father would bless a child, that blessing was prophetic and that would come to pass? Everything that Jacob declared over his sons came to pass. That's why there's so much power in the blessing. In other words, supernaturally, God would move on a father to speak into the future of his child. And that the words that he would speak would come to pass. That's very close to operation of a word of wisdom. How did the father know that? Do you realize when God talked with Abraham in Genesis 15, he told Abraham that his descendants were going to be held captive in a foreign country for 400 years. But after that, they're going to be taken out with great stuff. So Abraham had insight into what was going to happen in the earth before it happened, because God showed him. Actually, God told him. Imagine that. You talk about building your faith. You know what's good. If you know what's going to happen 400 years from now, that's powerful. But God will only do that to the people he can trust to do something with it. See, God knew that Abraham would train his children. God knew that Abraham would embrace what God wanted him to have by faith. So he could trust him with that information. Are you someone whom God can trust with secret information? Do you have spiritual top security clearance? How do you have that? You just have a heart after God, after the things of God and the people of God. If you have a heart after God, God will give you high security clearance and he'll show you secret things. You'll have inside information. And the devil will get mad because you'll be an inside trader. All right? The next one of the spiritual gifts is the word of knowledge. Okay? It's the word gnosko, and it's to be aware, to allow, to perceive, to be resolved, to speak, to understand. Okay? It's the knowledge of mysteries. It's a revelation of an already known fact. Remember when Jesus told his disciples, I want you to go to such and such a place, and when you get there, there's going to be a colt tied there, and I want you to get that colt, and if the owner says, what are you doing? Just say, the master needs it, and bring it to me. How did Jesus know that that colt was going to be there? Because it was a word of knowledge. It was a revelation of an already known fact. Okay? He told Peter, the first fish that you catch to pay our taxes, there's going to be 2 coins in its mouth. How did he know that? A revelation of an already known. God knew the fish had coins in its mouth, but only God knew, but he gave Jesus inside information so that he could provide for him. These gifts are powerful. Okay, the word of knowledge, it's the gift. This gift is insight or illumination. Okay, go with me to Matthew chapter 9, verse 4. Matthew 9, 4. And there were some scribes and some Pharisees there. They were the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They were dead in their religion. Now notice verse 4. Jesus, knowing their what? Thoughts. How can someone know your thoughts? Hebrews 4, 12, the Word of God is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. It's a two-edged sword. It's quick and it's powerful. How did Jesus know his thought, know their thoughts? God revealed to Jesus what they were thinking. And notice, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think you evil in your hearts?" And then you're nudging your neighbor saying, "Why did you tell him about that?" And your neighbor's saying, "I didn't tell him." But see, the Lord knew what was in their hearts. He knew what they were thinking because that's the word of knowledge. It was a fact to them. But the Lord revealed that fact so that he could help them. He had to get that out of their hearts so that the word could get in, because that evil thinking was blocking the word. So God revealed it to him. You know, that's why sometimes I say things in a service and some people will come up to me, "You were speaking right to me," and I have no idea. But see, that's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But see, sometimes I touch on a lot of things. I say a lot of things that I never intended to say. And I don't say a lot of things that I did intend to say. And sometimes in the middle, the words get jumbled up. Okay? Jesus knew their thoughts. It was revealed to him what they were thinking. God knows what you're thinking right now. I remember when I was at Rhema, and I'd be walking through the halls, and I'd see Brother Hagin, and I'd be going, "Okay, think good thoughts, think good thoughts." Why? Because he stood in the office of a prophet, and there was just, you know, I was just a young Bible student, and I just like, "Ooh, I hope he doesn't call me out or anything like that." Psalm 44:21, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "God knows the secrets in your heart." He knows what's in your heart. He can perceive your thoughts from afar. It's a revelation of a word of knowledge. Go with me to John chapter 4, all right? I want to give you an operation of how this gift works and how it can help someone, okay? John chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 16. Jesus is talking to the woman at the well in Samaria, all right? And she's getting some water. So he starts with water, and he moves to salvation. When you witness, start with where you are, excuse me, and kind of move towards Jesus. Okay, verse 16. Jesus said unto her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "You have said well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And he whom you now have is not your husband, in that you said truly." How? Who does this guy think he is? How does he know this about me? How did Jesus know that she had five husbands? She didn't say that. She said, "I don't have a husband." If I was to tell you I don't have a wife, that's not going to give you a clue that I've had five, is it? Unless it's divinely revealed to you. See, everybody who knew this woman knew that she went through a lot of husbands. She might have been related to Zsa Zsa Gabor. I don't know. But you see, the Lord was revealing this fact to Jesus so that he could minister to her. Watch. The woman said unto him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And he goes on to tell about living water and the gift. And he reveals himself to her. Verse 26, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto you am he. I am the Messiah. Okay? And go down to verse 29. Well, verse 28, the woman left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said unto the men. She had a lot of influence with the men. Verse 29, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Because the Holy Spirit revealed this fact about this woman to Jesus, this was the very thing that helped lead her to Christ and also helped her lead others to Christ. Because she went and told the men, come here, and then half the town came out to hear them for themselves. Do you see how the gift of the Holy Spirit, the word of knowledge, a revelation, insight, understanding into something that people knew, but it was unknown to the person, but through the spiritual gift, it was made known. Okay? Just the other day, I was talking to a person, and this person was sharing with me that they were praying in a small group of people. And they got done praying, and he was like this. And he goes to this other person, he said, there's something else. He said, is your knee bothering you? And the guy said, you know what, I never brought that up, but yeah, I am having problems with my knee. Now, how did he know that? See, the Holy Spirit was revealing that to him so that, you know what happened? They prayed for his knee. Guess what happened? He got healed. If the Holy Spirit hadn't revealed that fact, the person would have never said anything about it. They would have left still with a sore knee. But because he was sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, he understood that there was something else that they needed to pray for, and that was the key that helped that person. Okay? Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. Story of Elisha and Gehazi. And let's go down to verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. Gehazi is getting a little greedy. We call him greedy Gehazi. And but as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? He said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now there come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. He's not even telling the truth. He's lying. Naaman said, be content, take two talents. He urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments, laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare before him. When he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the man go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, where did you come, Gehazi? And he said, your servant went nowhere. Oh, my goodness. And he said unto him, was not my spirit with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave to you and unto your seed forever, for he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow. It was revealed to Elisha what Gehazi was doing. See, the spiritual gift of the word of knowledge. Naaman knew what happened. Gehazi knew what happened, but he was trying to hide it from Elisha. But he said, my spirit went out with you. So he knew exactly what Gehazi did, and that was a revelation of the word of knowledge. It'll protect you from someone trying to steal from you or to harm you. Because, you know, the Bible says, pray that you be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, because not all men have the faith. Did you know that there are deceivers in the world? They'll try to swindle you or deceive you. But if you're in tune with the Spirit of God, He'll show you. He'll give you a behind-the-scenes look, insight and understanding. That protected Elisha, because he didn't need a Gehazi around him anyway. Go to chapter 6 and verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. Okay, I want to paint a picture. The enemy is planning to attack Israel. He's laying the battle plans. He said, we're going to set up camp here. He's talking with his generals, no one else. Okay? Now notice what happens. Verse 9. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for there the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? The king of Syria thought he had an informant, a spy in his midst. But see, God knows what the enemy's up to. And it was a revelation of the word of knowledge that protected Israel from being attacked. You want to avoid the attacks of the enemy? You got to be in tune to the Holy Spirit. You got to be sensitive to His voice. You got to know when He's moving, when He's operating, so that you don't fall into the trap. He'll give you a warning. And so, verse 12, and one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel. I always wondered, how did they know it was Elisha? You ever think about that? He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. He said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and bring him. And they said he was in Dothan. Verse 14, therefore sent he their horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city. All right? So here's the Syrians. They find out where Elisha is. And by night, they surround his house. Okay? And, but you know what? You don't have to worry if the enemy surrounds you, because you're going to find out why. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. See, this servant was young in spiritual things. He was just developing. He was being trained by Elisha, so he wasn't as sensitive as Elisha was. But thank God, look at, Elisha said, pray that his eyes be opened. That's all you need is an open ear or an open eye to be sensitive when the Holy Spirit is moving. You talk about some intel. God's got some good intel. Better than radar, better than sonar. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. which would you rather have? Soldiers and swords or angels and fire? Oh, angels, and, well, I mean, one angel can wipe out 100,000 or so in just one swoop. But I want you to see how real the spiritual realm was and is. The spiritual realm, the realm that we cannot see with our natural eye, is more real than these chairs. Because these chairs came out of the spiritual realm as an idea, and someone built it, manifested it in the natural, but it first was originated in the spirit. And see, Elisha walked with God, and he was very in tune to spiritual things. That's why when he woke up and saw that he was surrounded, he was not moved. Thank God Elisha didn't have a bad hair day that day. He woke up, he was calm, he wasn't afraid, and he told his servant to fear not, because he knew what was around him. He was more in tune to the spiritual realm than he was the natural realm. And that's the realm that these gifts operate in. They're spiritual gifts. That means they originate with the Holy Spirit, but he manifests them, or he makes them appear. He displays them so that we can be helped. We can profit. Okay? Can you say amen? And the next one that we'll get into next week is the gift of faith. And these gifts, there's nine out of the nine gifts, they're basically in three categories. There are the vocal gifts, or things that you speak. There are the revealing gifts, or things that you see. And there's the power gifts, things that do things. Say power. Say it like you say, go, power. All right? Working of miracles, gift of faith, gifts of healings are the power gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits are the revealing gifts. Prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues are the speaking gifts. Okay? And God breaks them down for us so that we can get a grasp. So we've covered the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, and we're going to get into the gift of faith, and it'll go a little bit quicker after this point. All right? Now, I want you to stand up for a minute. And I want you to say this. Say, Heavenly Father, I want to be in tune with what you're doing at any moment. I turn my heart to you. I commit to walk with you, live for you, because I want to be a vessel that you can trust with secret information, power, and things to speak to help others in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, we just thank you for giving us these gifts whereby we all can profit from. Father, I ask you to help us to become more sensitive to when your Holy Spirit is moving and when he wants to do something. Lord, help us so that we can hook up and allow these gifts to flow through us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the manifestation of these gifts. We seek and desire the best gifts, Lord. And I just, if you can, I want you just to pray in the Holy Ghost for a little bit, all right? Ora ma sanda la baka sanda. See, the Lord just gives you the ability to speak in other languages. It's a supernatural thing. It's actually a free gift. And if you can't speak in tongues, that's okay. Just pray as you know how. Oh, rabakasandara mama. See, that's one way that you become more sensitive to spiritual things. Koranamasandara barakasiti ala mama. Oh, ramakasandara bakasoto rabokasandara bakasandiana. And if you, if anybody has something that they feel like they need to say, I want you just to say it. All right? Don't be afraid. Don't think about it. Just do it. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you're thinking that God's showing you something, just share it. Let's just wait on the Lord for just a moment. Yes. Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be foolish. And God gives you wisdom. Hallelujah. That's good. We're just going to take another moment. What are we doing? This is Developing Gifts 101. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you. We bless your holy name. Magnify you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. When you're at home, away from this gathering, I want you to practice. Study these gifts and practice preparing yourself to yield to them. We're going to see an increase. Amen. These gifts are not just for the fivefold ministry, they're for the body. If you're a believer, and being spirit-filled is an added bonus because it helps you to become more sensitive. You know, if you can pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Take some time and just pray in tongues. Close your eyes and just let the Holy Spirit move. Amen? Because we're going to see an increase. Because God wouldn't have me teach on this and then not manifest it. So, amen. So we're going to get into the faith and working of miracles next week. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening.